Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Annie Fry, Ryan Wiggins, Brad Ring.
That's us, that's right. Gotta love this American ride.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
For the sake, Kith, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, it's Friday. There's a lot going on right now. There's like a lot of loose ends in the news, and one of them is the loose end of a government shutdown. Is this happening live right now? Is that Barrasso
talking?
Yeah,
that's live.
Let's listen in real quick and see. Oh, wait. Now we have a still shot of Chuck Schumer looking very demure.
It's a program member report.
This is not live. We're going to watch and see. There's supposed to be a Senate view. There's supposed to be a Senate vote, I should say, coming up here shortly. And we're going to watch that. I don't know that we're going to, like, carry a Senate vote.
I would think that would be riveting.
Super boring.
Oh, you said boring.
Maybe at 12:45.
What I have is better than that, though. Wiggins America is better than that. It's a low bar.
I swear, folks, I'm not mailing it in. I just have a lot that I'm trying to deal with right now, and just in general, just like, you know, sometimes you just can't get ahead. It's homecoming week for my son. That's very exciting. There are just extra things that happen when you have stuff like this. Kids have the day off because they're teacher institutes, complicates things. And this government shutdown is really annoying to me because it didn't work into my schedule.
Nobody thought you were mailing it in until you said, I'm not mailing it in.
It's going to be evident. I'm trying to get ahead of it.
I have a cousin who is going on a vacation to Washington, D.C. today.
What are
they going
to do?
Visit the sites.
Yeah.
They completely scrapped it. They're doing
really
other things. And then they were like, oh, we'll go to the national parks. That was the plan. Nope.
They're closed.
So those kind of things, those little things are the things that impact your
life.
You
can still walk around the Washington Monument.
But
you can still walk around the St. Louis Arch, but you probably can't do the tours.
You can't go up
stuff.
In the Washington Monument like I'd like to.
I've never done that. Never had the pleasure of doing that. Don't know that I would want to. I'd be more... How do you... The only thing that I know about the Washington Monument elevator is what I saw in Spider-Man. Did you see that Spider-Man?
I saw a Spider-Man.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
That doesn't really narrow it down, bud.
It wasn't a movie either.
Oh. You saw, like, actually Spider-Man?
That was just some guy walking around in a Spider-Man costume. He was fat.
And was it in, like, Times Square?
Yeah.
Was he hassling you to take a photo?
Yeah.
He wanted a photo with you, and you're like, I know I'm Ryan Wiggins.
I paid because I thought he was threatening.
There's something that I've kind of noticed. I'm curious if you guys have seen this on social media. There are people who are listening right now who love this station, who are, you know, conservative-minded, Trump-supporting people who are on furlough right now.
Mm.
That's a real thing. It is a real thing. And it's a reminder to me when we talk about this stuff that, you know, the sombreros and all of that stuff. We did a poll yesterday. You guys are fine with the sombreros. That was evident yesterday. What was it? Off the top of my head, was it 67% of people?
Something like that, yeah.
That thought it was funny. Other people were like, sure.
Yeah.
That was the second category.
You understand it. You get it. And for folks like... None of us are affected by it, right? Financially.
No, not directly.
No.
So we're not missing a paycheck because of this. So it's easier to react to it in a certain way that is maybe a little less sensitive But I just want to say from the start of the show today that I know that there are people out there, like, it's not like if you're paid by the government that you're automatically a Democrat. That might be the case in large part in D.C., but there are federal employees all over the country, and that's just not the case.
I have family members that aren't necessarily, they don't work directly for the government, but they work very much on government contracts and grants and things. And they said when Trump took office, hey, I voted for Trump, but I hope he doesn't cut my thing. That's the attitude of everybody. But that's always the attitude, and not just for government employees, but if you're on some sort of government benefit, you're like, I realize, and there's a lot of people in this category, I realize that the government's too big. I realize we're creating a massive deficit that we cannot possibly keep going in this direction. But I hope they don't cut my thing. That's unfortunately where a lot of people are, because it does affect you personally.
We talk about this issue like we talk about all issues generally through a political lens. It's not wrong to do that, but it is wrong to not consider the whole of the issue. So I'm not sitting here. If President Trump can, in a shutdown, start making some fiscal decisions that allow him to cut spending, on the whole, I'm going to be very interested in him using that as an opportunity to use his wisdom and to go forward with that. And I don't know. Here I am opening up a conservative talk show host being like, I want to be sensitive to both sides. People are like, this is not what I'm listening for. But some of them are.
It's not what I'm here for.
I know why you're here.
I'm here to slash and burn. It's too big. It's too big.
He's serious about it. There's going to be a White House press conference shortly. I'll be here, curious to hear what Carolyn Leavitt has to say about it. And we will keep you abreast of the issue. They're going to vote. The Senate will vote. And they need 5 senators to move over across the aisle. It's possible that happens. That they end up, we get into the weekend and it's over.
Possible.
And then we'll do all of this nonsense again in November.
I'll say this. If there are enough Democrats in the Senate that cross over to end the government shutdown, I will be surprised, because, you know, my main criticism of John Fetterman is not that he says the wrong things. You know, he says things that I don't always agree with, but he says some things that I do agree with, especially for a Democrat. But he never takes a vote that is of any sort of consequence. He's always the one that adds to it.
Fetterman?
Yeah.
Well, it's hard for him to take a vote that's of consequence because the Republicans have the votes they need.
In this circumstance, he could be one of 8 do, though. Mm-hmm. And if he does, I'll have to acknowledge that, because that's been my criticism of him.
I think he's done a pretty good job of being a unique person. Like, I wait to see what Fetterman has to say before I know what he has to say.
Yeah, me too.
I know what Chuck Schumer's going to say. We got to do the other thing because Trump said to do this thing. And the American people are seeing through that. The American people are tired of it. That doesn't mean that they're Republicans now, but that means that they might not be Chuck Schumer Democrats. And that's where the politics of all of this kind of boils down and becomes very easy fodder for us to come on here and talk about it and make fun of the Democrats. It's more complicated than that. It's more nuanced than that. And we want to acknowledge it. Carolyn Leavitt speaking right now from the White House. Let's listen in to the press conference happening live.
Come on.
Not working?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here.
Okay. Well, Brad will get it straightened out. She's going to be talking about the shutdown. Can you get it?
Okay. Democrats will have an opportunity very shortly here to change course, and we hope that they will. There are significant personal impacts on millions of Americans as a result of this current government shutdown. The 1.3 million men and women of America's Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, and Space Force, who serve honorably and put their lives on the line to defend us all, are not being paid. Military families are already seeking out food assistance because of financial anxiety caused by this Democrat shutdown. According to new reporting from the Military Times, staff members at the Armed Services YMCA food pantry distribution location near Fort Hood in Texas found a line of military families stretched around the side of the building yesterday at 5 in the morning. According to the staff who work there, that is, quote, not happened ever. They've already had a 34% increase this week over past weeks. President Trump and Republicans fundamentally believe we have a sacred responsibility to protect and provide for our military families with the resources they need to thrive. If Democrats believe in this very simple premise too, they should end this shutdown immediately. Unfortunately, the severe impacts of the Democrat shutdown extend beyond our troops. Nearly 7 million mothers, infants, and low-income families who rely on government-run food assistance will be in jeopardy if the WIC program runs out of money in the weeks ahead. The more than 13,000 air traffic controllers who ensure that Americans fly safely in airports across the country are currently working without pay. The National Flood Insurance Program is in danger of lapsing, which could leave families without necessary help if a disaster strikes and we are in the middle of hurricane season. Critical services offered at Social Security field offices are reduced for senior citizens and disabled Americans. Helpful transition assistance programs are not being provided for veterans who fought to defend our country and are now trying to re-enter civilian life. The economic consequences of this shutdown are piling up every day. Policymakers, markets, and even the Federal Reserve are flying blind at a key juncture because BLS and BEA data are on hold until the government reopens. Democrats shutting down the federal government to give health care to illegal aliens could lead to lower growth and higher unemployment rates for Americans. According to a new memo from the Council of Economic Advisers, the U.S. economy could lose $15 billion of growth domestic product each week, every single week, the Democrat shutdown extends, with a month-long shutdown leading to an additional 43,000 unemployed people. Small businesses are likely to encounter delays in receiving federal loans, mortgage applications will likely shrink, and just this morning, Business Roundtable, an association of more than 200 CEOs of America's leading companies representing every sector of the U.S. economy, put out a statement urging Congress to pass the clean CR that will once again come before them in the Senate floor in just a few moments. Quote, a fully functioning government is essential for American businesses, workers, and consumers, while policymakers continue working on a full-year funding package and other pressing issues. Again, that is a quote from the Business Roundtable. What's clear is that the Democrats' actions account to an intentional sabotage of our country and our people by shutting down our government. This madness must end. President Trump and Republicans are calling on Democrats to reopen the government immediately on behalf of the American public. All we need are five Democrat senators to do the right thing and to stop this shutdown. Call your Democrat senator and tell them to vote yes to reopen the government. On another matter, despite the Democrat shutdown, President Trump's efforts to make America safe again continue. President Trump believes that American cities should be the safest places on earth, and he is committed to making this a reality. We've already seen that President Trump successfully made D.C. safe again in only a few weeks. That same crime crackdown will continue to happen in cities across the country and is happening in Portland, Oregon. President Trump will end the radical left's reign of terror in Portland once and for all. The president has directed Secretary Hegseth to provide all necessary troops to protect war-ravaged Portland and any ICE facilities under siege from attack by Antifa and other left-wing domestic terrorists. What's been allowed to happen in Portland, and we saw disturbing video footage of this last night, this is not peaceful protesting, this is left-wing anarchy that has been destroying this great American city for years, leaving police officers battered, citizens terrorized, and business properties damaged. Since early June alone, Antifa terrorists have laid siege to the ICE field office in South Portland. These radical left-wing lunatics have violently breached the ICE facility by using a stop sign as a battering ram, hurled explosives and other projectiles at law enforcement, repeatedly assault and dox officers, berate their law-abiding neighbors, and have even rolled out a guillotine in front of the ICE facility. And more people should be reporting on that. President Trump has sent federal law enforcement to protect federal assets and arrest those fueling this violence. Just last night, we saw an extremely troubling incident where conservative journalist Nick Sorter was captured on video being taken into custody by the Portland police after he was ambushed by Antifa and was defending himself from these assaults. But instead of arresting these violent mob members night after night after night who are ravaging this community, the police arrested a journalist who was there trying to document the chaos, and everyone in this room should be extremely concerned about that. The Department of Justice spoke with that journalist this morning, and they will be launching a full investigation into his arrest. This incident is part of a troubling trend in Portland where left-wing mobs believe they get to decide who can visit and live in their city. It is not their city. It is the American people's city, and President Trump is going to restore that. I just spoke with the president about this, and he has directed his team here at the White House to begin reviewing aid that can potentially be cut in Portland. We will not fund states that allow anarchy. There will also be an additional surge of federal resources to Portland immediately, including enhanced CBP and ICE resources. Law and order will prevail, and President Trump will make sure of it. With that, I'll take your questions, and we will begin today's briefing with our new media seat, Amanda Head from Just the News. Amanda, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Caroline. On that most recent topic that you mentioned, reportedly Portland police have not been able to engage protesters to the degree that they normally would. Does the president plan on handling this from that angle as well with city leaders?
Yes. From our understanding, the law enforcement that we have here in the Homeland Security Task Force, I spoke with them this morning, and what they're seeing is that, unfortunately, local police has been restricted from responding or cooperating at all with federal authorities, which is completely absurd. We have surged federal law enforcement personnel to this city to restore law and order and to work alongside local law enforcement. And we've seen the benefits of this in Washington, D.C. And all of you live here, so you can agree, Washington, D.C. is and feels much safer because of the cooperation between federal and local law enforcement. They can and must be working together. And we think it's despicable that these local elected officials who swear an oath to protect their people are preventing law enforcement from doing their jobs on the ground. So that's why the president has directed his team here at the White House, and they are already on it, to look into how we can cut funds. And the president wants to work with anyone. If the mayor of Portland were to call him right now and say, Mr. President, please help us, I am sure the president would be willing to do that. He is genuinely serious about wanting to restore order in America's cities. But it's become apparent that the local and elected officials in Oregon do not feel the same. And that's very unfortunate for the people who live there.
And then one more question on the government shutdown. Should there be some type of scheduled layoffs to maybe entice Democrats to come to the table, like every hour another agency, another 100 pink slips? I'm sure Russ Vogt has a list of folks ready to go.
Well, look, the Office of Management and Budget, as we've said repeatedly, is working with the agencies and our cabinet secretaries to identify where cuts unfortunately can and have to be made. And again, we understand there's another vote happening on the Senate floor in an hour. Maybe if Democrats do the right thing, this government shutdown can be over. Our troops can get paid again. We can go back to doing the business of the American people. But if this shutdown continues, as we've said, layoffs are an unfortunate consequence of that. And Russ Vogt has been in contact with our cabinet secretaries at their respective agencies to discuss that. Thank you, Amanda. Kelly.
How would this administration define what makes a Democrat agency, which agencies, and what constitutes being a Democrat agency?
I think this administration has been very clear, Kelly, that we're not going to tolerate waste, fraud, and abuse in our government. And we've also been very clear to point out when agencies or when programs do not align with this administration's values of putting our country first. You've seen that with USAID and in various other cases where there's been cuts made or funding has been slashed. And so, again, unfortunately, we're having to do a massive review of the bureaucracy to be good stewards of the American taxpayer dollar. And it's the Democrats who have forced the White House and the president into this position by voting to shut the government down.
You've talked about thousands likely layoffs coming. Do you have an update on the timeline for that? How quickly? And if the government is restored to funding and back in operation, will that list of potential layoffs still be on the table?
Look, as I just stated, the Office of Management and Budget is in constant communication and contact right now with our cabinet secretaries and agencies across the board to identify, unfortunately, where layoffs have to be made and where cuts have to happen. But again, the Democrats have an opportunity to prevent this if they vote to reopen the government. That is all this administration and the president is asking for. Vote for a clean continuing resolution to keep the government open. Peter.
Thank you, Caroline. During the campaign.
Thank you, Peter.
I was raised to say thank you in the White House briefing room. During the campaign, President Trump said that he did not know anything about Project 2025. Now he knows about it. Is that the blueprint for shrinking the government?
Look, the blueprint is what the president and his team and his cabinet secretaries ultimately decide. And the president trust his cabinet secretaries to identify where there is waste, fraud, and abuse. We pointed out this morning, or Russ Vogt tweeted about this morning, a Chicago rail project that was canceled. We paused $2.1 billion in Chicago infrastructure projects, specifically the Red Line extension and the red and purple modernization projects. And it's because the administration is concerned that the Biden administration was handing out taxpayer dollars to pay for this construction based on DEI. DOT is reviewing the race-based contracting on unconstitutional grounds. And in the meantime, the Department of Transportation funds for these projects are on hold. So I guess this answers both of your questions. This would be an example of that.
And just because there's so much shutdown talk, something different. What do you guys think about the NFL's decision to name Bad Bunny as the Super Bowl halftime performer, somebody who has not scheduled shows in the U.S. because he says that he's worried that ICE is going to come and arrest his fans?
Well, look, I know there are many in this room who are very anxious to hear the president's response to Bad Bunny being the halftime show, so I won't get ahead of him. I won't reveal what he feels about this. Next time you all ask him a question, you're welcome to do that. I have my own feelings on that, but that's not what I'm up here to talk about. As far as ICE being at the Super Bowl, as far as I'm aware, there's no tangible plan for that in store right now. However, of course, this administration is always going to arrest and deport illegal immigrants when we find them. If they are criminals, we're going to do the right thing by our country. Kate.
Did the president and Russ Vogt decide yesterday in their meeting which cuts they wanted to make to agencies and which ones would be permanent?
Again, I've kind of answered this question a few different times now. It's been asked in a few different ways. Their discussions continue between the Office of Management and Budget and cabinet agencies across the board, and they are actively identifying where these cuts and these layoffs have to be made as this government shutdown hopefully does not continue.
And on Hamas, the president said that if Hamas rejects the proposal, that Netanyahu would have his full backing to finish the job. A UN report found that Israel was committing genocide in Gaza. Does the president have concerns about the civilians being killed, the worsening humanitarian crisis, and are there limits to what the White House would support when it comes to Israel's actions in Gaza?
Look, the president has deep concerns about all of the atrocities that have taken place in the Middle East over the past few years. It's deeply unfortunate that he inherited this mess from the Biden administration. If you all recall, under President Trump in his first term, the Middle East was on a pathway for peace and prosperity. There was the historic signing of the Abraham Accords. Israel was on a path to normalization between Arab and Gulf nations, and we hope that can continue. But right now, the president has made it very clear to Hamas that this is an acceptable and detailed proposal that they must accept. Or the consequences are going to be very grave for them. And he has given them a deadline of Sunday evening at 6 p.m. When I was out here on Wednesday, I told all of you, I'll leave it to the president to make that red line, and he now has. I think the entire world should hear the president of the United States loud and clear. And Hamas has an opportunity to accept this plan and to move forward in a peaceful and prosperous manner in the region. And if they don't, the consequences, unfortunately, are going to be very tragic. Michael.
Thank you, Caroline. Has the president declared war on international drug cartels? And if so, or if he will, does he feel he needs congressional approval?
As the White House has said many times, the president has directed these actions, these strikes against Venezuelan drug cartels and these boats, consistent with his responsibility to protect the United States interests abroad and in furtherance of the U.S. national security and foreign policy interests. This is pursuant to his constitutional authority as commander-in-chief and the chief executive to conduct foreign relations. In each of these cases, Michael, the vessels have been assessed by the U.S. intelligence community to be affiliated with designated terrorist organizations engaged at the time in trafficking illicit drugs to our country. The president has been very clear, dating back to the campaign trail, that he is always going to do what's in the best interest of the American homeland. And he also promised the American people he was going to end the drug epidemic that has taken far too many American lives. And you're seeing those actions play out almost every single day here.
One last question on the shutdown, Caroline. Hakeem Jeffries has said that President Trump is in the Presidential Witness Protection Program. Since the shutdown has begun, what's the White House's reaction to that?
That's just more ridiculous fodder from Hakeem Jeffries. As you all know, because you're here every day, the president is literally working around the clock right now. I think he has a swearing-in ceremony, or he already did. He has several meetings on the books today. He literally works 24/7. Anyone who works in this place or covers this place, as you all do, knows that to be true. And Hakeem Jeffries and the Senate Democrats should get back to work in a few minutes and vote to reopen the government. Emily.
You spoke earlier about the energy and infrastructure projects that Director Vogt paused. Will the White House agree to restore that funding as part of a deal to end the shutdown?
Well, I won't make any agreements here. Senate Republicans are talking with their colleagues on the Democrat side, but right now, Russ Vogt is doing what he's been tasked to do in the midst of this government shutdown, which is to look at funds that need to be temporarily halted or need to be canceled. And Chicago is just another example of that.
Carolyn Levin from the White House press briefing room updating on the status, the current status of a government shutdown. And we know that the Senate is going to vote soon. We will cover that as it happens. Five Democrats from the Senate need to switch over and support the end of the government shutdown. Supporting a vote in favor of that would be a vote in favor of a clean CR, which is basically to say everything that we were doing to fund the government through September, we'll do that for, I think, seven more weeks. Same thing. Nothing changes. And the Democrats so far have said, no, that we're not interested in doing that. At least leadership has. We'll see if anybody decides that they want to pull away from Chuck Schumer, if Chuck Schumer himself is going to be at the forefront of making that vote so that the government can reopen. We're going to break and talk to Congresswoman Mary Miller when we come back. We're going to talk to her about the government shutdown, what she has observed as the Democrats have pulled away from trying to work this out so that the government can reopen. But we're also going to talk to her about what's going on in Chicago. How much of the Chicago stuff have you been paying attention to, Ryan?
Which Chicago story?
Like ICE, the presence of ICE and the protests and all that stuff.
Yeah, I've been keeping a pulse on it.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the main stories. It's a little bit overshadowed by what's going on in Portland. Congresswoman Mary Miller will give us what she thinks about that issue when we come back. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Garrett, can you tell us a little bit more also about whether do you think it's is this protest growing throughout the day, or because do you get the sense that because they've taken this action to clear things out that they'll start to just go on home?
Well, what we've seen in the past is that when there start to be these clashes, it spreads very quickly within these activist groups online, and that can be a magnet to have folks that are coming out here to support that, to be able to build these mm-hmm. efforts to try and shut down Operation Midway Blitz. I do want to point out, within the last 10 minutes, we had several Border Patrol officers come up to us, and they pointed out several individuals in the crowd that they were calling out as paid agitators, saying that those are two individuals that they were telling folks that are out here to demonstrate peacefully, stay away from them if you want to avoid trouble, because they are out here to agitate, and they will cause you trouble if you get caught up near them.
Just one last point, and we've got to go, so we'll make it quick.
So that's a report coming out of Broadview, Illinois, where the ICE facility is being protested in great measure. We wanted to ask our friend Congresswoman Mary Miller about this because attention once again on the state of Illinois. Congresswoman, how do you feel about what has transpired in Broadview, Illinois, what the Trump administration is doing, the ICE facility, they're trying to protect it? What are your thoughts?
Well, this is what Americans voted for, and they are going full force. President Trump will not tolerate lawlessness, and this is part of the promises made, promises kept. Border policy doesn't stop at the Rio Grande. And Pritzker abdicated his responsibility to protect the citizens in Illinois by offering sanctuary to illegals and violent criminals and gang members who are getting a foothold in our city. And so, you know, shame on him and shame on the Democrats, number one, for opening the border in the first place. Mm. And so, you know, I'm pleased with this. President Trump will win.
Mm. You know, I'm reading a report here from Fox News. The mayor of a small town outside of Chicago on Tuesday insisted her community doesn't want National Guard troops deployed to the area after weeks of protesters clashing with ICE officials. The mayor, Katrina Thompson of Broadview, the population of this town is just under 8,000. This is a small town west of downtown Chicago, held that press conference and said, we don't want them here. I'm hearing from more and more people in Chicago, in these areas that are led by Democrats, that while the politicians who are elected who are Democrats are saying, we don't want this here, there are people within these communities who are maybe looking at what President Trump is doing and saying, thank you for finally doing something to make our communities more safe and secure.
Yes, it's absurd that these Democrat politicians, especially J.B. Pritzker and Mayor Johnson, have villainized and demonized ICE law enforcement. They are heroes and they should be thanked. But this is a hard time in our country. Joe Biden and the Democrats did so much damage the last 4 years. And President Trump is trying to fix the damage that they did. And we have got to deport these people. They're going after the worst of the worst. And I do want to encourage the listeners to pray for President Trump, pray for our country and for the ICE agents, because, yes, this is a problem. But Chicago had a crime problem before the Venezuelan cartels come in and set up shop and are getting a foothold here. And this is not a partisan issue. People deserve to be safe in their communities, Democrat or Republican. And also, this has economic impact. People are not going to open up businesses. In fact, they're closing businesses in Chicago. This is going to be good for the citizens of Illinois and the whole country. We have to get the illegals out of here, and we got to go for the worst of the worst first.
Congresswoman Mary Miller speaking with us right now. She represents Illinois' 15th district. You can follow her on X at Rep Mary Miller. I would have to think that the people in these communities that are being attended to by Midway Blitz, Operation Midway Blitz, to try to reinstate some safety and security to Chicago, to Broadview, to these areas, there have to be people who are looking at the Democrats that they've always elected and the alternative of the Republicans who are at least in charge in the federal government and say, maybe I could be with these other guys. Maybe there's a Republican that I could support and bring this safety and security effort more from a local standpoint. Do you think Illinois is waking up to the possibility that maybe Democrats haven't been doing it right this whole time?
So Illinois is a red state. We got to get people out to vote. And we've got to deal with corruption in our elections, those two things. But people are abandoning the Democrat Party. They have ridiculous policies. Americans want safety. They want economic opportunity and they want quality education. And 100% the Democrats' ideas do not provide for any of those. And I have been saying one thing the Democrats wanted that they got was a pass from the media. They've owned the media for decades and they've never had to account for their lies, or they haven't gotten any pushback on their bad ideas, and they keep getting weirder and weirder. And besides the criminal aspect of this, there is a huge economic impact. In Illinois, we've already spent billions of dollars that we don't have, and they're going to force the Illinois taxpayers to cough it up.
Well, you know, I want to shift gears here a little bit, talking about taxpayer dollars and acknowledging that there is a government shutdown right now. Congress, specifically the Senate, seems to be at an impasse. The House has been able to pass this measure through. It's on the floor of the Senate. They're going to take another vote on it today. How do we get to the point where the Republicans and the Democrats, with a slight Republican majority in Congress, how is it that we get to a government shutdown and what happens next?
Well, we voted to keep it open. This is a Democrat disaster. There is nothing to negotiate. The Democrats lie. They want taxpayer-funded benefits for illegals. We are not going to negotiate. The American people do not want that. We want to block illegals from accessing these benefits. And they want to reverse common sense cuts. Like $5 billion worth of cuts that were made for ridiculous things. I mean, the amount, the abuse of American taxpayers that was exposed through DOGE is beyond offensive. And now they want to reverse those cuts. We want to keep dealing with waste, fraud, and abuse. They want to continue to, they want to refund left-wing biased media. No, we're not going to do it. There's nothing to negotiate.
Congresswoman Mary Miller, last question before we let you go, and we do appreciate your time this afternoon. Do you see that this shutdown, do you think that the Senate Democrats are going to be able to cultivate the extra 5 votes or whatever it is that they need to end the shutdown today? Could you see this going for quite some time?
I think it's going to go on for a while because, like I say, they're very proud. They haven't had to give account for their policies, and they're deceived. They think the American people are with them. The American people will not reward this kind of chaos or being put on the last to be cared about list behind illegals and criminals.
Well, we are going to watch and see. We appreciate your time today, hoping that the shutdown does end soon for all of those people who are good.
Yes.
they care about what they do for the country. They're federal employees, a lot of our military that are having to suffer at this. It's not just a political ping pong ball. It really matters. And hopefully the Democrats will come to their senses
yes.
and end it soon.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll speak to you again soon. Congresswoman Mary Miller. Thanks for your time today. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Representative from Illinois' 15th District at Representative Mary Miller. Appreciate the opportunity. I think have we talked to somebody from Congress every day this week, I think?
Every day, yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. Good to be able to do it. And glad that we're able to bring them to here to speak with you. All right, let's do beer. What are we doing next?
Yeah, this will be beer, not the bee.
Okay. I hope Ryan brought his A game. Let's take a break. We went a little bit long with that press conference in the first segment. It is still going on. I don't know how many times you need to hear Carolyn Leavitt say that the Democrats are to blame for the shutdown, which is essentially kind of the summation of it. Whether you agree with it or not, we always like to bring you directly to the source, but I'm kind of summing it up for you there. All right. Wiggins America, be or not the be, because it's a Friday. Next, don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a happy song. I was listening to John Mayer's Sirius XM channel, and he said Sitting on the Dock of the Bay is a song that has only major chords, and that's why it's got the mood that it has. And he said it's very rare to have a song that has only major chords in it. But that sounds like a song that would have... Doesn't that song just sound like a happy song?
Yeah, but I have no idea. Is Sitting on the Dock of the Bay to you a happy song? Just
it's a chill. Don't you want to be in that song? Whatever that song is, don't you want to be there doing that while you're listening to it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it's a famous song. It paints a fantastic picture.
That's a happy place to be.
Yeah. Any song that has whistling, try putting whistling in a sad song. Can't do it.
The YouTube live chat poll, as Ryan just mentioned, how long have you listened to 97.1 FM Talk? I will be very curious to hear what your responses are to this, especially comments. If you have stories of as to how you started listening to the station, I would be very curious. Joe said, I listened to 97.1 after Jack Benny went off on my family's Philco radio in the parlor. I'm old.
There's no way. There is no way that's true.
You would be voting 5+ years.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
For that.
I think so.
All right. Let's get to the beer, not the bee.
It's Old Wiggin!
The bee or not the bee.
All right, since this is Wiggins America, big shout out to the original Wiggins, my grandma Wiggins, who is
Wouldn't
listening
her
right
husband
now.
Be the original Wiggins?
Well, yes, but he's not listening.
The better half of the original Wiggins. How about that?
And my dad.
Hi,
so,
grandma and dad.
Like a lot of the Wiggins origin story is listening right now. It's kind of a big deal.
The origins of the Wiggins.
So this is the B.
I'm trying to say something here, but I don't want to. I don't have any jokes.
You sure?
You've completely cut my legs out.
This
from
is your
me.
Chance to impress my family.
I think they are my favorite Wigginses.
Don't love that. Since I'm right here,
I've met your grandma.
I mean, they're great. I'm in the room with you.
Didn't your grandma come to the Granite City deli thing that we
yes.
went to, and I met her, and she was the sweetest, most beautiful grandma in all of the land.
And guess what? That wasn't an act.
No, she was great. And your dad is great too. Your whole family is great.
He came out to the Ruler Foods live that we did in Collinsville.
In Collinsville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he may have been at the deli too.
He was there.
Yeah, he was. Okay. I think it was your fam.
Was it everybody? Okay. I couldn't remember.
Yeah. It was great. And does your grandma, what kind of sense of humor does your grandma have?
Very good one.
Does she
she's
think
cracking
you're,
jokes.
She
I was
think,
with her last night. She's cracking jokes.
Does she think you are funny?
I think so. Look, she'll say yes.
It's because she's your grandma.
She's my grandma.
She loves you.
I think I can get her goose every now and then.
Do you think, what do you do with it? Do you think, how many grandchildren does she have?
Oh my gosh, including greats or just?
Either or.
Oh man, it's over a dozen.
Grandchildren and
yeah,
together?
Yeah.
How many just grandchildren?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Where do you rank in the 6 grandchildren? Like where, like on the favorite list? Are you towards the top of being favorite grandchild or middle, bottom? What do you
think? There's, clearly to me, it's probably Tracy, Kristen, Tara, Nick, Larry, me.
You put yourself at the bottom?
I mean, she would never say that.
You can tell.
Well, where am I supposed to put myself? Because she would absolutely say 100% equal. So I had to make a joke out of it.
She would. Would she wink at you afterwards?
Now that she's listening, I'm like, I can't make those jokes because then I'll hear about it later.
I tell all my children, I whisper to all of them that they're my favorite child.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. They all think they're the favorite, though.
I will say this.
I hope they don't talk to each other.
My son, Sinjin, who is her great-grandson, the other day, we were going over to visit Grandma, and he goes, why is it, and he was genuine about this, he said, how is it that Grandma makes you feel so important?
Oh!
I was like, I don't know, buddy, but it's true.
Because you are, and she is.
And then I was like, Sinjin, you need to leave the room so I can tell Grandma what you said without you here.
How'd she feel about that?
Oh, I mean, it just, I'm tearing up even saying it, like, It's amazing.
How does grandma make you feel so important?
And he was 100% asking me, because I know she's got other grandkids and great-grandkids, but I feel so, like, I'm so important to
That's
her.
That's love, buddy.
I know.
Oh, and there's no love like a grandma, like a grandparent's love. All right, let's do All right. silly stuff.
Here's some
Ryan, you need to leave the room,
headlines.
Unplug, and come back in. Thank you for listening, Grandma.
Thank you.
And Dad.
And
thank
Dad,
you.
Too.
Thank you for Ryan.
Oh, yes. And you're welcome, Annie.
Not you, them.
On behalf of them.
No, I don't know if you get to speak for them.
These are news headlines. Some of them real, some of them fake. The fake ones are from the Babylon Bee. The real ones are from all over the place. Tell me which one's which. Tim Walz says U.S. president must stop making sombrero memes because it's scaring European allies.
Sounds like something he'd say. Yes? Real?
I think it's real.
This is real.
Oh.
This is real. Tim Walz says, quote, this is dangerous. I cannot express to you the concern and absolute bafflement and fear of our European allies. The president himself tweeting out AI videos of fake news reports on healthcare. This is really dangerous. He goes on to say, our European allies are asking me, quote, is this stuff really going on?
Yeah, it is. Are we? What's the situation with Spain? How do they feel about us? Does Spain have sombreros?
Spain hates us right now.
Mm-hmm. Do they?
Yeah.
Does Spain have sombreros?
I don't think so.
Is that just a Mexican thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Next one. Sexist Pete Hegseth demands women be equal to men.
The B.
That's a B headline.
It is the B. A quote, "We will have the same fitness standards for men and women in combat," said the disgusting male chauvinist to a room of shocked and horrified generals. "Starting today, our male and female soldiers will be treated exactly the same." Hundreds of outraged officials came forward to condemn the bigoted anti-woman policy. Quote, "It was absolutely sickening," said Army General Xander Blufblutsch.
Well, I'm going to change my answer to real.
On his TikTok channel, "If men and women are treated equally, then we'll have fewer women in the military, which is sexist because men and women are totally equal in every way and there's no real difference, and anyone who says otherwise is a fascist." Last quote is, quote, "Why would we be expected to do push-ups?" asked one female soldier. "This is just like Hitler." There were a lot of really good quotes in that
exactly
one.
Exactly the same.
I'm going to make sure I got them.
Oh, yeah.
All right, entire federal workforce replaced by very tired Marco Rubio.
Yeah. B.
That's the B. "Congratulations, Marco. Another promotion," said Trump. 750,000 promotions, to be exact. That's a lot of promotions. Maybe the most ever. I know a lot of people were worried about the government shutting down, wondered who would run everything, but I've taken care of it. Marco will be running Social Security now in the National Park Service and also manning the gift shop at the Washington Monument. He's doing terrific, Marco. Got to get some bags out from under your eyes, but we don't hold that against you.
That one picture of him sitting on the couch, kind of slouched down in the Oval Office that's used forever. Marco Rubio just discovers he's hosting late night TV
right.
over and over. That picture is that makes the meme.
Yeah, it's great. All right, conservatives announce boycott of NFL until next Sunday.
Did you say, who boycotts?
Conservatives.
Conservatives. That's true. I'm going to go real on this one.
It's the B. I'm sorry. Angry fans from largely conservative areas of the nation voiced their displeasure on social media after the halftime show announcement promising to punish the NFL by refusing to watch any games at all on the days of the week when there aren't any games and only returning when their favorite teams play their next games on Sunday.
The NFL is like the drug that nobody can quit.
I quit it, although I never was that.
Yeah,
addicted.
But you weren't.
Yeah,
you weren't up to your eyeballs in it. But I mean, those who have, and again, every time the NFL is involved in a conversation about this, it's different for me in St. Louis. If I weren't in St. Louis, I would handle all of this stuff probably a little bit differently. I'm so offended at how the NFL handled and treated St. Louis.
Yeah,
and I'm a woman scorned, so deal with it. NFL. I know they care.
Last one. I'm going to sneak it in here. Jasmine Crockett says, quote, "Just because someone has committed a crime, it doesn't make them a criminal."
That's real.
Yeah, that is real.
This is real.
Oh, geez.
Yeah,
lady.
This is real. According to Crockett, being a criminal is all a state of mind. I do want people to know that just because someone has committed a crime, it doesn't make them a criminal. That is completely different. Being a criminal is more so about your mindset.
Oh, no, it's not. It's about her mindset. You see the difference there? My goodness. All right, we'll find out what I missed in the next segment. We'll get Ethan sports and local as well. And in the 2 o'clock hour, we want your Ask Us Anything questions. We'll trickle them in throughout the course of the 2 o'clock hour. Watch it for a government shutdown vote in the Senate. Keep it right here. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.